last week, I started to share about the Good Shepherd, the goodness of God. I sort of laid a foundation for the goodness of God. And so I want to speak to you about sort of building upon the goodness of God and build that out and specifically focus on accessing God's glory, which I will explain. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then the end of Psalm 23 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Do you believe that God wants His goodness to follow you every day of your life? Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded? Because this will define you. The Lord has been speaking to me the last few weeks, and I just realized we underestimate the importance of knowing the goodness of God. We underestimate the importance of knowing the goodness of God. And so I was at a wedding the other day, and there was a guy that didn't look very friendly. He looked like one of those guys that was sort of there was a very interesting crowd, but this guy didn't look very friendly, and he had like dreadlocks, and he was in his probably middle 50s, and he just looked like angry in a sense, you know, one of the guys that you want to just, you know, pastor, you probably don't like me, you know. And so I spoke about the goodness of God, and I spoke about divorce and the effects of divorce during the message. And then later, during the reception, I went to get something to drink, and I could see that his eyes were following me, and I walked sort of past him, and I saw, okay, he wants to talk to me. So I stopped, and we started to talk. And I was actually amazed. What a nice guy. What a friendly guy this was. We had a great discussion. And then he told me that he sort of seems to be a bit homeless. I'm not sure, but it seems like he's living on sort of on the beach type of thing. And we started to talk about church and about the goodness of God. And then he said, you know, the other day, there were these Christians. They had Bibles in their hands, and they were like on the street preaching or something. But it seems like they almost hit him over the head with a Bible. Seems like it. And I was listening to him, and he just shared that I could pick up that the effect of what he experienced was that he doesn't want anything to do with church, because that's what church people look like. And that really made me think, what effect do we have on people as Christians? Do we push people away from God and away from His body? Or do we actually draw people closer to God and His body? And this is a massive issue, because I think the enemy tricks us and gets us into partnering with him, and we, in a sense, show an angry God. An angry God, and I don't know about you, but most people don't like angry people. So what about an angry God? I wouldn't want to come to an angry God. And obviously God can become angry, but what is He in essence? He's a good God, and He's in a good mood. He's in a good mood. And we spoke about that in the cell group this week, and it's amazing when you start thinking about God being in a good mood. Think about somebody that's always in a good mood. Do you like spending time with them? Somebody that's always negative and or angry and want to spend time with them? Not really. So how about a good God that's in a good mood? And you want to spend time with Him. And so I just want to take you on a quick, lay a foundation, just a theological foundation for the goodness of God. In Exodus 33, it speaks of an encounter that Moses had with God. One of the most fascinating scriptures or stories in the Bible, or accounts in the Bible, Exodus 33, 13 to 20. And so Moses was on the mountain with God. And he was in God's presence. And then Moses had an amazing relationship with God. You see in this verses, Moses almost negotiates with God. He says, "God, only if you this, then I will." type of thing. But Moses was like the friend of God. There's a place in a relationship with God that's not, it's no longer just slave. Oh, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. God doesn't want that type of relationship with us. He doesn't want slaves. He wants friends. And if you and I don't believe that God is a good God, if we believe we cannot approach Him, that He isn't for us, there can never be friendship. There can never be friendship. And so Moses was on the mountain, and so he spoke to God, and then in verse 13 it says the following, 33:13. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. That's an interesting thing to pray. God, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he started off by saying, if I have found grace in your sight. This is Moses. This is the Old Testament. And he says, God, if I have found grace in your sight, then show me your way. New Testament, have we found grace through the cross of Christ? Multiplied more, anything that Moses experienced, multiplied. Grace that God is giving us. And so Moses is saying, God, show me now your way. Why? Why show me now your way? Because if you, God, I know that if you show me your way, I can know you. If I know how you operate, your heart will be revealed. Your heart will be revealed. So stay with me here. So Moses saying, God, show me your way that I may know you. Moses had a hunger for God. He had a hunger for God. He had a hunger for God's presence. He was passionate about knowing this God. It was his everything. It was his everything. So Moses said even to God, God, if you want to take us to the promised land, that's fine. But if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. I don't want that. I want you. You are what I'm seeking. Knowing God was number one on his agenda. And he was the friend of God. He was the friend of God. And I believe that's what God wants to do in us, where we want more than just, you know, average Christianity, more than just going through the motions, more than just seeing glimpses. We want to know you. Exodus 33:14 and says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. For Moses, everything else was secondary. Everything else was secondary. He wanted to know God. And as it continues, God is on Moses on the mountain, verse 17, it says, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you. And he said in verse 18, please show me your glory. Now, the closer you come to God, the more you taste him, the more you want his glory. Because his glory represents his essence. His glory represents who he is. His glory represents his fullness. And so Moses said, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, God. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Can you say that? Show me your glory. And I know it's an intangible concept, the glory. But look at what God then says. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. So Moses is asking for the glory of God. God responds and says, I'm going to bring all my goodness past you. All of my goodness. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Moses asked for glory. God showed him his goodness for a reason. For a reason. What is the reason? Reason is the goodness of God is the door to his glory. The goodness of God is the door to all of his fullness. Jimmy had a word, I think it was last Sunday. He saw a picture of a big cupboard, and he saw a little boy, and he saw God bringing the little boy to the big cupboard, opening the cupboard, and it was full of sweets and anything that a little boy would want. And God was saying, pick. Have of all of my goodness. Have of all of my goodness. Have of everything. Just take what you want. Just take what you want. That's God's heart. But you need to know that He's good and He wants to. It's like Kuba shared, you know, when you ask for this, God's not going to give you a snake when you ask for bread. But you and I need to know that God is good. Are you persuaded that God is good? So His goodness is the doorway to His glory. Okay. I'm just laying a foundation. What I actually want to get to is the last bit. Exodus 33:20, the next verse there. It says, but He said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Interesting. He says, no, you can't see my face. What does God look like? Think about that for a moment. What does God look like? What does God the Father look like? What is the picture you see in your mind when you think about what God looks like? What do you see? Sometimes people see God with a stick wanting to beat. What do you see? What does God look like? In the Old Testament, He said, you cannot see my face. In the New Testament, He comes and He shows us His face. What is the face of God? Jesus Christ is the face of God. Jesus Christ is the face of the Father. John 14:8-9, Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Amazing scripture. Jesus says, if you see me, you see the Father. So God the Father knew in the Old Testament, He said, Moses, I can't show you my face. You're going to die. My glory is just overwhelming. But I will cause all of my goodness to pass by you. All of my goodness to pass by you. Jesus Christ. A manifestation of the goodness of God. The face of God revealed. Why is this so important? Because Jesus is the door. Jesus is the window through which we are to look at Scripture. Jesus is the window, the perspective, the context through which we look at Scripture and through which we look at God the Father. Look through Christ. Somebody said, Jesus is perfect theology. We can argue about lots of stuff concerning theology, but you can't argue with what Jesus represented, who He represented, and how He lived. You can't argue with that. It's perfect theology. And so Jesus is our example. We are supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. He is our example. The way He lived, what He did, is what we are to become. Is what we are to become. Jesus is perfect theology. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. It says, but even if our gospel or our good news, can you say good news? Even if our good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So this scripture reveals the enemy's number one plan is to veil people's minds and hearts. To what? To the goodness of God. I think the enemy tricks Christians and the church that what we represent to the world is an angry God, is a God that people want to be stay away from. It's a spirit. It's the same thing with the religious spirit. The scheme of the religious spirit is to make life in Christianity dry and heavy and boring. We have a philosophy in this church. If we're not having fun, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I spoke to somebody yesterday, And the lady just said, you know, whenever she hears about us as a church, or whenever she looks on Facebook, it always seems like we're having fun. We are. It's true. Because if we're not having fun, something's wrong. A good God cannot be a boring God. A good God cannot be a morbid God. A good God is a God who's having fun. A good God's a God that is in a good mood. He's in a good mood. And so the enemy tricks us. And so the Lord has called us to take off the veil, that the world may see His goodness. I'm praying through this. I'm thinking through this. I'm meditating on this. God, how can we show the world Your goodness? How can we remove the veil so that everyone can see You're a good God? That's my prayer. But the purpose of evil is to cover and to distort the goodness of God. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. What darkness? You and me. We were darkness, and now God has commanded. He's commanded, let my light shine out of darkness. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a mouthful. The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God. And as I said, Jesus is the window. In His face, you can only see goodness. Go read the Gospels again, the first four books of the New Testament. Go read how Jesus operated. He fought with the fakes. He got angry with the religious crowd. He loved the sinners. Heck, He goes to a wedding. The people are drunk and He makes more wine. Now that freaks out your religious mindset completely. What is that? At the a recent wedding, I was considering praying as I was walking up and thinking, I'm going to pray, Lord, may the alcohol have no effect today. But I didn't. Thank You, Jesus, for holding me back. God is an amazing God. God is an amazing God. You think good, He's better. He's better than the best you can imagine. I'm standing amazed at what God has done in my life, in our family, in this church. I'm astounded. God is good, and He's good to you. He's good to me. He wants us to taste and see that the Lord is good. And then verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amazing scripture. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So you and I, we're earthen vessels. We're weak, we're frail. Truck hits you, it's goodbye. Slip in the bath, hit your head, it's goodbye. We are earthen vessels. We're going to go at some stage. But there's this treasure in us. There's this treasure in us. There's a treasure on the inside of each of us, and God is wanting to reveal that treasure to the world. It is His goodness. It is His love. It is His glory. And then He says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. There's a power. This is not just a natural something. This is a supernatural something that God wants to do. There is a power that God has placed inside of us. So let's look at this. This is where I wanted to get to. So this is a good time to focus. The goodness of God revealed through Jesus Christ. Matthew 4, 24. What did Jesus look like? And what did he do? It reveals his goodness. Verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Hallelujah. He healed them. The goodness of God revealed. You see, Jesus didn't just come with a nice message. He came with power. He came with action. He came with the glory of God. He came with the fullness of God. And so Moses prayed and said, God, show me your ways. Show me your ways that I may know you. His ways reveals his heart. His ways reveal his heart. Jesus showed God's love for broken people. Is he a good God? Bring the sick, the afflicted, the diseased, those in torment, demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics. What is God's heart for them? What is God's heart for them? Revealed through Jesus Christ. Healed. Set free. We serve a good God, but he's not a midget. He's not a midget. He's a big God. He's able to do what his heart pleases to do. But he wants to do that through us. He wants to do that through you. He wants to do that through me. So what is God's goodness revealed through Jesus? Go read the Gospels. What do we see in terms of evil? Is this massive showdown? Jesus and the devil. And this is fighting. Oh. Then it's pulling this way. Then it's pulling that way. Oh, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? There was no showdown. There was nothing happening. When Jesus pitched, evil surrendered. When the goodness of God was manifested, a man filled with thousands of demons, nobody could bind him. He was in the tombs, he was naked, everybody was terrified of this man. Jesus gets off the little boat and he steps onto land. What happens? Demon-possessed runs, falls at his feet and worships and says, please don't torment us. I haven't done anything yet. Just because he was there. You see, the goodness of God is hidden when we magnify evil. And many Christians do. Many of us magnify the power of evil. We are persuaded the devil is so powerful. Evil is rampant. Not until Jesus pitches. Not until Jesus comes through you and me. Treasure, treasure. This power inside of us, this power inside of us. We magnify the devil, we minimize God. The goodness of God reveals we should magnify God, we should minimize the devil. Amazing, on Thursday evening we were praying, a small group of facilitators and interns, we were praying, and then I just felt God saying, the devil is terrified of you. Demons are absolutely terrified. Evil is terrified of us. But you need to get a revelation of that. Because most of us, if you tell a story about, as I did on Thursday, you know, all I hear would stand on the arms would stand upright. Ah, the evil. Not when Jesus was around. Not when God's presence rests upon us. In the light of God's goodness, evil must flee. Evil must flee. Beautiful picture about a few Sundays ago. I just felt this in worship. I just felt that Jesus died as a lamb, but he rose as a lion. So towards us, he's like a lamb. He's just love. But as his love rests upon us, the lion roars and evil must flee. Evil must flee. Terrify the enemy. Acts 10:38. Almost finished. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now Jesus reveals how we should live. It says, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. A natural result, consequence of God being with somebody is that there will be good works. Good works. And people will be healed. God's presence. God's presence. And so God has called you and me to show his love. How do we show that? I mean, a very basic ways of showing his love. Like we're doing this coming Saturday, going to give gifts to orphans. That is showing the love of God. That is showing the goodness of God. Feeding somebody, clothing somebody. That's all good. That is God's will for us, and we must do it. We must show God's love to the world. But some of us, and many Christians around the world, are fine to park there. That the goodness of God, the love of God, is just natural stuff. God wants to go beyond that and show his goodness. Healing all. On Thursday evening, we were praying, and I just felt God saying, I saw a picture of people coming forward for healing. And I felt God saying, all healed. And I just felt that that's what God's going to do at some stage in this church. That they're going to be sick people, they're going to respond to an altar call, and God's going to heal all of them. Because if God is with you, that's what he does. And that's what we're pursuing. The fullness of God, the glory of God, a visitation from God. There's a quote from a, I can't remember who said it, but he basically said that if the presence of God would leave today's church, if the presence of God would leave today's church, then 95% of everything we do will go on as usual. But in the church in Acts, if the presence of God would have left them, then 95% of everything they did would stop. Because it cannot operate outside of the presence of God. And so many of us have settled in a place, it's fine to just live naturally. But that is not the goodness of God. That is not the glory of God. That is not the doorway to his fullness. I read that last week as well, just about the visit. Where God in the scripture says, I will visit you. I will visit you and perform my good word. Now when God visits you, what happens? People are healed. The oppressed are delivered. Lives are transformed. The lost are saved. Trusting the Lord for this. Last verse. John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Now, if you look at some Christians, you wouldn't think it, would you? And I'm not saying I'm perfect. This is a challenge. But for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is not the day of judgment. This is the day of salvation. This is not the day of condemnation. This is a day of freedom. This is not the time where God accuses us. This is a time where God says, come, let me heal you. Let me save you. Let me set you free. There is a judgment day coming. The one day, the last day after we've all died. There will be a judgment day. But in this life, it's the day of salvation. Jesus has come to save, not to condemn. It's amazing, Jesus with a woman that committed adultery, she was caught in the act. All the Pharisees bring her, throw her down at the feet of Jesus and says, should we stone her? It's amazing, Jesus revealed and he says, to the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers?" When they all were convicted of their own sin and they left, he said, "Where are your accusers?" And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." So I think there's another danger for us when it comes to the goodness of God. It's when we magnify the power of sin above the power of the cross. Some of us are, I think I've been there. You are afraid of getting contaminated, afraid that the other's sin will jump on you and then you're going to sin as well or whatever, I don't know. And so many of us live in fear because of our wrong understanding of sin. Sin has been dealt with at the cross powerfully, completely. What does it mean? Do I like sinning? I hate sin. I don't want to sin because it disconnects me from God. But how do I respond to other people's sin? How do I respond to other people's sin? In the light of the cross, no fear. No fear. No fear. The goodness of God revealed in the Gospels, the most powerful picture of God and His heart of goodness is when He meets sinners. And He treats them like good people, in a sense. He loves them and showers them with His goodness. Sinners love to be around Jesus. What sinner likes to go to church? Not many that I know of. When they sin, they run away because you feel more guilty in church. You feel more condemned in church. God wants to show us His goodness. I heard this story about a guy who he travels over the world a lot, and then somebody came to him and asked him, "Well, don't you feel like uncomfortable when you sleep in hotel rooms the whole time? Don't you wonder what happened in that room?" And he said, "Well, thank you for reminding me." But he said, "No, I'm not worried about it. I am worried for the person coming after me and sleep in the bed that I slept in. I am excited about God's going to touch them. I'm excited about His presence filling that room." You see, it's a different ballgame when you start living under the goodness and the fullness of God. You come with an expectation. Smith Wigglesworth tells the story of he was living in a lady's house. The lady was serving the Lord, and her husband wasn't. He was far from God. He's an angry man, and she so wanted him to pray for her husband. But he was busy with the conference and everything, or whatever, the preaching, and so he didn't get to it. And then he left, didn't get the opportunity to pray for her husband, and so she contacted him and said, "What must I do? I so want my husband to come to the Lord." And he said, "Don't remove the linen from my bed and just have him sleep in that bed." According to how the story goes, literally the next day, the husband jumps out of bed wanting to give his life to Jesus and surrender to God because of the presence of God touching his life. The guy tells a story as well. Their son was, say, 12, 13 years old, and they were worried about their son because he wasn't excited about God. He was not doing anything bad, but he wasn't excited about God. And so what this guy and his wife did, they went into his room when he wasn't there, and they just worshipped there until the presence of God manifested in the place. Just worshipped until they felt the presence of God. Just worshipped. And then at a later stage, he said they took one of his loved sport, doing sports. They took his one's favorite sport shirt, and then they prayed over it. They worshipped over the shirt until they felt the presence of God. And so their son was wearing the shirt, and then he says within about 2 weeks, the boy comes to his dad and says, "Dad, I must fast for 21 days. God is speaking to me." And a complete turnaround. He became on fire for God when the presence of God touched him. So you and I have this treasure in earthen vessels. of revealing the goodness of God. Revealing the goodness of God. I told the guys at Cell on Wednesday, I so want the presence of God to be on my life that when I walk into a room, God is there. And we felt on Thursday, God speaking to us, saying to us, I'm giving you keys as a church, keys to doors, keys to prison doors, keys with names on. I saw this picture of a large bunch of keys, and on each key there was a name of somebody, and these were keys to prison doors. And God is giving us keys to open doors. And I felt God saying that because of His presence on our lives, we will be able to walk into any situation, any darkness, any situation, and the doors will just open up. That's where God is calling us. No longer in the defense. Oh, the devil, the evil, the bad people, they don't like us. To a place where our God is good. And cities are going to turn to Christ. Nations are going to turn to Christ. That is His heart. I tell you, when we live out of His goodness, we're going to see amazing things. So do you believe that God is good to you? And do you believe that He wants to reveal His goodness through you? We should magnify God, not evil. We should magnify the cross, not sin. Jesus has dealt with sin on the cross. He has broken the power of sin over our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. He has given us grace. He has given us His power to overcome every temptation, every evil, when His goodness is revealed. So, how are you representing God? What do people see when they see you? What do people see when they see me? Are we causing people to come closer to God, or are we pushing them away? I believe God's going to reveal His goodness through us. Hallelujah. Our God is a good God. I don't want to live in fear anymore. I want to live in the fullness of His cross. In Jesus' name.